and he shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history. Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeer loved him, and he shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, he'll go down in history. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, he'll go down in history.
And what's that Yiddish history, Mr. Autry?
Well,
was that Yiddish? I never heard that before.
No interview tonight, so.
That was really weird, wasn't it?
Does Gene Autry know Fiddle Ray personally?
I doubt it.
You don't think so? What is Fiddle Ray's last name?
Fiddle Ray Landsberg.
Fiddle Ray Landsberg.
Yeah, and Tom Marion on guitar. That was Fiddle Ray, not Gene Autry. You probably thought it was Gene. It was just a little pulling your leg here on the Comedy Hour. But
yes,
he sounded, you know, Fiddle Ray sounded uncannily like Gene in that. And Fiddle, come here a second. I know you're not a big talker, but Fiddle...
Yeah, it was really great. We really enjoyed it,
you
Fiddle.
You really got into that. Did you feel, really, that you got the sound of Gene in that?
No, not really. Gene has a much better voice and much more accurate accent. Actually, he sounds almost exactly like Gene.
He can do a pretty good Gene, but I think being in this building with all the Gene Autry vibrations that have permeated the atmosphere for these many years now, I think it gave you an added impetus and an added ability to sound like him.
Well, I feel like neighing occasionally. But
well, go ahead. Tonight's a night today.
Matter of fact, if anybody has any oatmeal around...
Hey, well, listen, Fiddle Ray, thanks. And I think in the next decade, Fiddle Ray Landsberg's name will be familiar as Gene Autry's.
Probably so, yes. All you have to do is go out and find your own reindeer.
That was touching.
It really was.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a couple of more calls and find out what people think we should do with our Fairmont studios?
Yeah.
Okay, remember, we're keeping these calls light tonight. This is our last Comedy Hour, and we do not want to get maudlin. We want to keep it in a light frame of mind. And, we are trying to determine what we should do, what actually the Fairmont Hotel should do with these KSFO studios after the lights go down low. Hi, KSFO.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I just want to thank you for all the beautiful Frank Sinatras you played, all the other great music, and for the greatest DJs ever.
Thank you. But what do you think we ought to do with our Fairmont Hotel studios?
Oh, God, I don't know. I just wish you could all come back.
Thank you.
And I hope that some other station decides to play some good music and pick you all up.
Thank you so much.
And we love you all.
We love you, too. And I appreciate those calls, but I really want to keep it in a Comedy Hour frame of mind tonight. Hi, KSFO, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I'd just like to say that Mr. Sharp.
Just playing Sharp.
Okay, Mr. Sharp. You're up there in my Bill Cosby class.
In your what?
My favorite.
Oh,
he's up there,
up there with Bill Cosby. Yeah,
oh.
You're the two most funniest men I've ever heard.
Are you not confusing me with Jerry Graham, are you?
No, you're so funny.
Did you see us on Channel 2?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling.
How did that come out? What did you think of that on Channel 2?
You look good. You guys look just fine.
I mean, was it funny?
Huh?
Was it funny? Was it interesting?
It was good. It was, you know, I thought it was a good thing to do.
Thank you so much. Well, there's a comment from somebody who cares and obviously listens and and thinks you're as funny as Bill Cosby.
Well, I don't know about that, Jerry. But thanks anyhow. I appreciate that.
Hi, KSFO. You're on the air. What should we do?
Dr. Joy? Is this Dr. Joy Brown?
No, she's gone.
I've been dialing so long I forgot who I was talking to. Is this... KSFO?
Yes, it is. Dr. Joy has gone home.
Oh, some gun. Well, what you can do with the studio, do you know how to make a phallic symbol?
I don't think we want to bother with that tonight.
What is a Felix symbol? He said a Felix symbol?
Felix.
Felix the cat?
Yeah, Felix the cat, right.
Yeah, you make a Felix symbol.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
After that, I thought we'd better go back on delay. Yes, go ahead, please.
Why?
I'm really
What's going to happen if
I'm
we're not
really,
on delay?
I'm glad that I got through to you. I've been listening to you for a very long time. And I want to say that I'm really sorry that I won't be able to hear you anymore. My children won't be able to go to sleep because they listen for that radio, the golden, olden days. And but I do have a suggestion of what you could do with that
Good.
Portion of the Fairmont Hotel.
Yes.
You could make it into, excuse me, a very big suppository and send it up with a shuttle to the moon.
Okay, thank you. No, actually, the hotel really has nothing to do with this.
I know. But, I mean, really.
How'd you feel about hearing...
I've been listening to people for so long.
What did you think of Gene Autry tonight?
Oh, he's great. He was wonderful. And, a little before my time, but, no, I thought he was wonderful.
And he said my severance check was in the mail. I feel much better.
And then he left.
Is it really? Are you sure?
Well, he said, I mean, if somebody says your check is in the mail, don't they usually mean it?
You know, Jerry, did he get his signature on it, on anything?
See, I don't know.
When he said that to you, he had his fingers crossed behind his back. That's sort of Gene's way of being funny.
Really?
You mean my check might not be in the mail?
I don't think so, man.
Right.
He had his fingers crossed.
I waited 2 weeks to get a severance check, so don't.
You don't think I should count on it, then? Yeah, I guess I better not. Thanks for your call.
I love, and I'm going to miss it so much. Really, I mean, I don't want to get maudlin, that's what you keep saying, don't do that. So, you know, but,
Thank you so much.
I, there's nobody that's going, there's no other station.
This is a tragedy.
Thank you so much. Oh, you're welcome.
Good night. You know, I could go on and on about the kind of, you know, the calls like that we've been getting for weeks now, actually, but it wouldn't really,
You know, do any good. It is kind of interesting. I mean, I work for another station. Jay Ginsberg here works for another station. And, I've been on other, you know, KGO and other stations around town. And it's amazing to me the size of the audience that you have and the loyalty of the audience. I get so many comments after I've been on this show. And it's just incredible to me that this station isn't continuing this program. I don't, it seems to be providing a lot of entertainment for a lot of people. And we can kid around a lot, but it's really true.
Yeah,
I think
people
really are touched by this, and I don't think this would happen for a lot of other radio shows in town or stations.
It's an unusual show. We've always tried to do as many live shows as we possibly could. it just isn't done everywhere. Somebody would say, somebody in the radio business who...
Hold it a second, Jerry. I just want to put this flyer right on your ear here.
Ow. Oh, man.
I just want to... dismantle you a little bit, too.
That's my ear.
You're taking everything apart here tonight.
No, I mean, the idea of doing an hour of comedy on the radio, I think, would surprise a lot of people in radio. Gee, and something like that's never been done before, but we've been doing it here for a lot of years, and it's been quite successful, and it's been a wonderful audience to work with and for, and I will always appreciate it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
I'll certainly never forget it.
Well, you'll get it back in some way, Jerry. You really will, you know?
Well, like my check, it's in the mail. Let's move on to the next call here.
Gene has an opening at his dude ranch, he told me. As he was going out the door, he said, well, you know, get me in touch with me at my dude ranch. And you're certainly a dude if I ever saw one.
That's true.
Oh, seriously,
though. Hi, KSFO. How are you?
Hi, Jerry. I just wanted to say, like everybody else, I'm sorry that it's happening, but I think that you should put a bar in the place because that's going to be a happy place and name it Sherwood's.
Okay, that's a good idea. You're the second person to call in with that tonight. Mal didn't hear the first person, but that's a great idea. Thank you so much. Hi, KSFO, what do you think we should do with the place?
I think you should just leave it as a happy memory.
Hmm.
And inscribed across the door, out of the mud, grows the lotus.
That's actually inscribed out in the hall right now.
Is it really?
Well,
because
cases,
I think what he meant in essence was that you'll all come out smelling like a rose.
Right.
And good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Okay, let's have no more of those calls. We want to know what the Fairmont Hotel can do.
Let's have some laughs. There's 5 minutes of live programming.
5 minutes of laughs, yes.
This is like the KQED membership drive. Why don't we call them up, you know? Why don't we contribute some... Five minutes left.
I don't think your assignment editor is waiting for our call.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing? What do you think we should do with this place?
Well, you know, as I've driven around Nob Hill for many, many years, there's one problem that I've often had, and it's really hard to find a parking place up there.
Yes.
And I just wonder, you know, maybe they can just make the garage a little bigger.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Turn this into a parking lot?
Yeah.
Turn this into a parking lot?
Well, you know, the old KSFO studios in the Mark across the street
yeah.
is now a parking lot.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
One Nob Hill Circle, you mean?
Well, under One Nob Hill Circle. During the war, I understand, our chief engineer has told me these marvelous stories about the old big KSFO studios during the war when they had these live shows and the live dramas. And that is now the garage in the Mark Hopkins.
Lot.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know that Channel 2 went off the air just as you were doing your show?
No,
they did not. We had our monitors here. We could see it.
You can't pull our legs. Come on now.
That would have been very disappointing, though, had it been true.
I wonder what people thought of that. I am curious about what people thought of Fiddle Ray playing Gene Autry. That's a pretty bizarre moment in radio history.
It wouldn't surprise our audience, but those poor folks watching Channel 2 not knowing what to expect.
The last night of KSFO, they say Fiddle Ray Landsberg, yeah?
Yes.
I know.
I thank you for your call. I think that's a very good suggestion because the parking on Nob Hill has always been the pits, and they certainly could need more. Can you imagine a Volkswagen could be sitting where I am now one
probably
of these days?
Probably will be, yeah.
Probably so. Be easier to get the news trucks out front, though.
Maybe we could make this a parking lot for news trucks. I mean, you drive around. Here's the guy from Channel 7 again. Would you park your van here, George?
Tickets. I have tickets. Yeah. Oh, sure I would. Yeah, it fit real nice over here in the newsroom spot there next to...
Aaron Edwards' old desk.
What a blow. What? Your canning machine is all sold out. There is nothing left in that canning machine. Yeah.
And you know, what's
no
that?
Toilet paper.
No toilet paper?
There's no hand towels either. They ran out of towels about a week ago.
Well, there's no toilet paper?
No. This is just like the bus station strike. Greyhound went out.
Are you serious about the toilet paper? There really is nothing?
I was there. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
Joyce Shank was there.
You finally get Channel 7 over here and there was no toilet. Well, what did you use, Joyce?
I decided to wait.
You decided to wait?
Well, if the Fairmont has the toilet paper in their place.
The Tonga Room.
Now, wait a minute. Another TV station has arrived. I cannot believe this. Channel 4 is here. What a dramatic moment now.
Oh, my God.
And they're going to have to fight it out. Let's get the Channel 4 guy in here. We get the anchor guy from Channel 4 here.
This is not fair.
We don't have too much time to
Channel
interview
4,
another
right.
TV station here tonight.
I know. What are you going to do? Are you going to try and edge out Channel 4 here, the man from Channel 7?
Yeah.
What do you do when another crew shows up?
You step on them. You push them aside, and then you apologize later and go, God, you know, I didn't really mean that. I'm sorry, did I get in your shot? I really apologize. The light back at him, that works real good.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, we will be live on Channel 7 at 11:42:30.
11:42:30.
Now, I'll be standing here while we play the Don Sherwood tape. Yeah.
Commercial.
No, we've eliminated that. Mal smashed one. No, it's Pat. You smashed Pat in the Purex commercial.
What a mess you guys made in here.
Well, it isn't a terrible...
Do you want to talk to one more listener? There's like 2 minutes left on KSFO, right on the button. Look,
yeah.
2 minutes,
we're gonna have
a minute
to kind
55.
Of we're going to have to kind of abruptly sign off, I think, after that.
What is the KSFO jingle? Maybe we could just sing the jingle at the...
Well, we're going to...
Everyone in San Francisco could just open their windows and sing them.
We're going to use the good one, though.
We're going to end... we're going to use the real one at about a minute before midnight.
Channel 4 is not going live. Joyce Shank from Channel 7 reported that Channel 4 is not going live, and she's gloating about all this.
And they keep...
Yeah.
Okay.
Joyce, what did you do to get the Channel 4 news team aced out there?
I don't want to tell you. I broke their cable.
Who's in control here, aren't you?
I can't believe what a media... battle this is tonight.
You need a plug for that. I don't know if there is a plug for that.
Okay.
Listen now to the confusion in here.
Yes, I think it's time we wrapped it up. Otherwise, we'll never get what many people have been looking forward to on the air, the Don Sherwood reading of Winnie the Pooh.
Well, let's have a big thank you for Jerry Gordon.
And thank you, guys, and the many... marvelous KSFO listeners. They may have called this the world's greatest radio station for many years, but I think that's because out there has always been the world's greatest listeners. And I'll probably have a few words to say just before we turn things over to the new people at midnight. Brad and I'd like to say goodnight to Porky. Good night, Porky.
Mr. Gordon. That's all, folks. And the big, that's all, folks.
Hi, kids. This is your Uncle Don Sherwood with Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne. We're going to read to you right from the book, direct. No characters or anything else. This is just your Uncle Don reading at you. So settle down and get ready. It's all brought to you by the Undulator Waterbed People. And we'll talk about them about three times during the show. The rest of it's going to be all Winnie the Pooh. We're going to start with Chapter 1 and go all the way through the book. And then we'll do the House at Pooh Corners a little later on. We'll be doing this every night, 7:30, Tuesday through Saturday. Right up until Christmas. This is KSFO's Christmas present to you. I don't know exactly what it is for me. We're going to do Chapter 1, in which we're introduced to Winnie the Pooh and some bees, and the stories begin. Here is Edward Bear coming downstairs now, bump, 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 on the back of his head behind Christopher Robin. It is, as far as he knows, the only way of coming downstairs. But sometimes he feels there's really another way if he only could stop bumping for a moment and think of it. And then he feels that perhaps there isn't. Anyhow, here he is at the bottom and ready to be introduced to you, Winnie the Pooh. And we'll get to Winnie in just a second. Let's get to the book. Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne. Once upon a time, a very long time ago now, about last Friday, Winnie the Pooh lived in a forest all by himself under the name of Sanders. One day, when he was out walking, he came to an open place in the middle of the forest, and in the middle of this place was a large oak tree, and from the top of the tree there came a loud buzzing noise. Winnie the Pooh sat down at the foot of the tree, put his head between his paws, and began to think. First of all, he said to himself, "That buzzing noise means something. You don't get a buzzing noise like that, just buzzing and buzzing without it meaning something. If there's a buzzing noise, somebody's making a buzzing noise, and the only reason for making a buzzing noise that I know of is because you're a bee." Then he thought another long time, and he said, "And the only reason for being a bee that I know of is making honey." And then he got up and said, "And the only reason for making honey is so that I can eat it." So he began to climb the tree. And he climbed, and he climbed, and he climbed, and he climbed. And as he climbed, he sang a little song to himself, and it went like this. "Isn't it funny how a bear likes honey? Buzz, buzz, buzz. I wonder why he does." And he climbed a little further and a little further, and then just a little further. And by that time, he thought of another song. It's a very funny thought that if bears were bees, they'd build their nest at the bottom of trees. And that being so, if the bees were bears, we shouldn't have to climb up all these stairs. He was getting rather tired by this time, so that's why he sang a complaining song. He was nearly there now, and if he just stood on that branch, crack. "Oh, help," said Pooh, as he dropped 10 feet to the branch below him. "If only I hadn't," he said, as he bounced 20 feet to the next branch. "You see, what I meant to do," he explained, as he turned head over heels and crashed onto another branch 30 feet below. "What I meant to do, of course it was rather," he admitted as he slithered very quickly through the next 6 branches. "It all comes, I suppose," he decided as he said goodbye to the last branch, spun around 3 times and flew gracefully into a gorse bush. "It all comes of liking honey so much. Oh, help." He crawled out of the gorse bush, brushed the prickles from his nose, and began to think again. And the first person he thought of was Christopher Robin. So Winnie the Pooh went around to his friend Christopher Robin, who lived behind a green door in another part of the forest. "Good morning, Christopher Robin," he said. "Good morning, Winnie the Pooh," said you. "I wonder if you've got such a thing as a balloon about you?" A balloon? Yes, I just said to myself coming along, I wonder if Christopher Robin has such a thing as a balloon about him. I just said it to myself, thinking of balloons, wondering. What do you want a balloon for, you said? Winnie the Pooh looked around to see that nobody was listening, put his paw to his mouth, and said in a deep whisper, honey. But you don't get honey with balloons. I do, said Pooh. Well, it just so happened that you'd been to a party the day before at the house of your friend Piglet, and you had balloons at the party, and you'd had a big green balloon, and one of Rabbit's relations had a big blue one and left it behind, being really too young to go to a party at all, and so you'd brought the green one and the blue one home with you. Which one would you like, you asked Pooh, and he put his head between his paws and he thought very carefully. Well, it's like this, he said. When you go after honey with a balloon, the great thing is not to let the bees know you're coming. Now, if you have a green balloon, they might think you're only part of the tree and not notice you. And if you have a blue balloon, they might think you're only part of the sky and not notice you. And the question is, which is most likely? Well, wouldn't they notice you underneath the balloon, you ask? Well, they might or they might not, said Winnie the Pooh. You can never tell with bees. He thought for a moment and said, well, I'll try to look like a small black cloud, and that will deceive them. Well, then you'd better have the blue balloon, you said, so it was decided. Well, you both went out with the blue balloon, and you took your gun with you just in case, as you always did. And Winnie the Pooh went to a very muddy place that he knew of, and he rolled and rolled until he was black all over. And then when the balloon was blown up as big as big, and you and Pooh were both standing holding onto the string, you let go suddenly, and Pooh Bear floated gracefully up into the sky and stayed there, level with the top of the tree and about 20 feet away from it. Hooray, you shouted. Isn't that fine, shouted Winnie the Pooh down to you. What do I look like? You look like a bear holding onto a balloon, you said. Not, said Pooh anxiously, not like a small black cloud in a blue sky. Not very much. Oh, well, perhaps from up here it looks different. And as I say, you can never tell with bees. There was no wind to blow him nearer to the tree, so there he stayed. He could see the honey, he could smell the honey, but he couldn't quite reach the honey. After a little while, he called down to you. Christopher Robin, he said in a loud whisper. Hello. I think the bees suspect something. What sort of thing? Well, I don't know, but something tells me that they're suspicious. Well, perhaps they think you're after their honey. Yes, it may be that. You can never tell with bees. There was another little silence, and then he called down to you again. Christopher Robin? Yes. Have you an umbrella in your house? I think so. Well, I wish you'd bring it out here and walk up and down with it and look up at me every now and then and say, tut, tut, it looks like rain. I think if you did that, it would help the deception which we're practicing on these bees. Well, you laughed to yourself, silly old bear, but you didn't say it aloud because you were so fond of him and you went home for your umbrella. Oh, there you are, called down Winnie the Pooh as soon as you got back to the tree. I was beginning to get anxious. I've discovered that the bees are now definitely suspicious. Well, shall I put my umbrella up, you said? Yes, but wait a moment. We must be practical. The important bee to deceive is the queen bee. Can you see which is the queen bee from down there? No. Ah, a pity. Well, now if you walk up and down with your umbrella saying, tut, tut, it looks like rain, I shall do what I can by singing a little cloud song such as a cloud might sing. Go. So while you walked up and down and wondered if it would rain, Winnie the Pooh sang this song. How sweet to be a cloud floating in the blue. Every little cloud always sings aloud. How sweet to be a cloud floating in the blue. It makes him very proud to be a little cloud. The bees were still buzzing as suspiciously as ever. Some of them, indeed, left their nest and flew all around the cloud as it began the second verse of the song. And one bee sat down on the nose of the cloud for a moment and then got up again. Christopher, ow, Robin, called out the cloud. Yes, I've just been thinking and I've come to a very important decision. These are the wrong sorts of bees. Are they? Quite the wrong sort. So I should think they'd make the wrong sort of honey, wouldn't you? Would they? Yes, so I think I shall come down. How? Ask you. Winnie the Pooh hadn't thought about this. If he let go of the string, he would fall bump, and he didn't like the idea of that. So he thought for a long time, and then he said,
Christopher Robin, you must shoot the balloon with your gun. Have you got your gun? Of course I have, but if I do that, it'll spoil the balloon, you said. But if you don't, said Pooh, I shall have to let go, and that would spoil me. When you put it like this, or when he put it like this, you saw how it was, and you aimed very carefully at the balloon and fired. Ow, said Pooh. Did I miss, you asked? Well, you didn't exactly miss, said Pooh, but you missed the balloon. I'm so sorry, you said, and you fired again, and this time you hit the balloon, and the air came slowly out, and Winnie the Pooh floated down to the ground. But his arms were so stiff from holding on to the string of the balloon all that time that they stayed up straight in the air for more than a week, and whenever a fly came and settled on his nose, he had to blow it off. And I think, but I'm not sure, that that's why he was always called Pooh. And that's the end of Chapter 1, and after this short commercial, we're going to get to Chapter 2. Okay, kids, here we go again now. This is Chapter 2, in which Pooh goes visiting and gets into a tight place. Edward Bear, known to his friends as Winnie the Pooh, or Pooh for short, was walking through the forest one day, humming proudly to himself. He'd made up a little hum that very morning as he was doing his stoutness exercises in front of the glass. Tra-la-la, tra-la-la, as he stretched up as high as he could go, and then tra-la-la, tra-la-la, uh-huh, oh, help, as he tried to reach his toes. After breakfast, he'd said it over and over to himself till he'd learned it all by heart, and now he was humming it right through properly, and it went like this. Tra-la-la, 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 tra-la-la. Rum-tum-tiddle-lum-tum, tiddle-little, 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 rum-tum-tum, tiddle-lum. Well, he was humming this hum to himself and walking along gaily, wondering what everybody else was doing and what it felt like being somebody else, when suddenly he came to a sandy bank, and in the bank was a large hole. Aha, said Pooh, rum-tum-tiddle-lum-tum. If I know anything about anything, that hole means rabbit, he said, and rabbit means company, he said. And company means food and listening to me humming and such like rum-tum-tiddle-lum. So he bent down, put his head into the hole, and called out, is anybody at home? There was a sudden scuffling noise from inside the hole, and then silence. What I said was, is anybody at home? Called out Pooh very loudly. No, said a voice, and then added, you didn't shout so loud, I heard you quite well the first time. Bother, said Pooh, isn't there anybody here at all? Nobody! Winnie the Pooh took his head out of the hole and thought for a little while, and then he thought to himself, there must be somebody there, because somebody must have said nobody. So he put his head back in the hole and said, hello, Rabbit, isn't that you? No, said Rabbit in a different sort of voice this time. But isn't that Rabbit's voice? I don't think so, said Rabbit. It wasn't meant to be. Oh, said Pooh. Took his head out of the hole and had another think, and then he put it back and said, well, could you very kindly tell me where Rabbit is? He's gone to see a friend, Pooh Bear, who's a great friend of his. But this is me, said Bear, very much surprised. What sort of me? Pooh Bear. Are you sure, said Rabbit, still more surprised? Quite sure, said Pooh. Oh, well, all right, come on in. So Pooh pushed and pushed and pushed his way through the hole, and at last he got in. You were quite right, said Rabbit, looking at him all over. It is you. Glad to see you. Who did you think it was? Well, I wasn't sure. You know how it is in the forest. One can't have just anybody coming into one's house. One has to be careful. What about a mouthful of something? Pooh always liked a little something at 11 o'clock in the morning, and he was very glad to see Rabbit getting out the plates and mugs. And when Rabbit said, honey or condensed milk with your bread, he was so excited he said both. And then, not as to seem so greedy, he added, but don't bother about the bread, please. And for a long time after that, he said nothing, until at last, humming to himself in a rather sticky voice, he got up, shook Rabbit lovingly by the paw, and said that he must be going on. Oh, must you? Said Rabbit politely. Well, said Pooh, I could stay a little longer if you, and he tried very hard to look in the direction of a larder. Well, as a matter of fact, said Rabbit, I was going out myself directly. Oh, well, then, I'll be going on. Goodbye. Well, goodbye, if you're sure you won't have any more. Is there any more? Said Pooh quickly. Rabbit took the covers off the dishes and said, no, there wasn't. I thought not, said Pooh, nodding to himself. Well, goodbye, I must be going on. So he started to climb out the hole. He pulled with his front paws and he pushed with his back paws, and in a little while his nose was out in the open again, and then his ears, and then his front paws, and then his shoulders, and then... Oh, help, said Pooh, I'd better go back. No bother, said Pooh, I'll have to go on. I can't do either, said Pooh, oh, help and bother. Now, by this time, Rabbit wanted to go for a walk, too, and finding the front door full, he went out by the back door and came around to Pooh and looked at him. Hello, are you stuck, he asked. No, said Pooh carelessly, just resting, thinking, humming to myself. Here, give us a paw. Pooh Bear stretched out a paw, and Rabbit pulled and pulled. Ow, said Pooh, you're hurting. Fact is, said Rabbit, you're stuck. It all comes, said Pooh crossly, of not having front doors big enough. It all comes, said Rabbit sternly, of eating too much. I thought at the time, said Rabbit, only I didn't like to say anything, said Rabbit, that one of us was eating too much, said Rabbit, and I knew it wasn't me, he said. Well, I'll go fetch Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin lived at the other end of the forest, and when he came back with Rabbit and saw the front half of Pooh, he said, silly old bear, in such a loving voice that everybody felt quite hopeful again. I was just beginning to think, said Bear, sniffling slightly, that Rabbit might never be able to use his front door again, and I should hate that, he said. So should I, said Rabbit. Use his front door again, said Christopher Robin. Of course he'll use his front door again. Oh, good, said Rabbit. If we can't pull you out, Pooh, we might push you back. Rabbit scratched his whiskers thoughtfully and pointed out that when once Pooh was pushed back, he was back. And, of course, nobody was more glad to see Pooh than he was. Still, there it was. Some lived in trees, some lived underground. And you mean I'll never get out, said Pooh? I mean, said Rabbit, that having got so far, it seems a pity to waste it. Christopher Robin nodded. There's only one thing to be done, he said. We shall have to wait for you to get thin again. How long does taking thin get, asked Pooh anxiously. Well, about a week, I should think. But I can't stay here for a week. You can stay here all right, silly old bear. It's getting you out, which is so difficult. We'll read to you, said Rabbit cheerfully, and I hope it won't snow. And I'll say, old fellow, you're taking up a good deal of room in my house. Do you mind if I use your back legs as a towel horse? Because, I mean, there they are, doing nothing, and it would be very convenient just to hang the towels on them. A week, said Pooh gloomily. What about meals? Oh, I'm afraid no meals, said Christopher Robin, because of getting thin quicker. But we will read to you. Bear began to sigh and then found that he couldn't because he was so tightly stuck, and a tear rolled down his eye as he said, then would you read a sustaining book? Such as would help and comfort a wedged bear in great tightness. So for a week, Christopher Robin read that sort of book at the north end of Pooh, and Rabbit hung his washing on the south end. And in between, Bear felt himself getting slenderer and slenderer. And at the end of the week, Christopher Robin said, now. So he took hold of Pooh's front paws, and Rabbit took hold of Christopher Robin, and all of Rabbit's friends and relations took hold of Rabbit, and they all pulled together. And for a long time, Pooh only said, ow, and then, oh, and then all of a sudden he said, pop, just as if a cork were coming out of a bottle. And Christopher Robin and Rabbit and all of Rabbit's friends and relations went head over heels backwards, and on top of them came Winnie the Pooh free. So with a nod of thanks to his friends, he went on with his walk through the forest, humming proudly to himself. But Christopher Robin looked after him lovingly and said to himself, silly old bear. All right, let's go to chapter 3 of Winnie the Pooh, in which Pooh and Piglet go hunting and nearly catch a woozle. The Piglet lived in a very grand house in the middle of a beech tree, and the beech tree was in the middle of the forest, and the Piglet lived in the middle of the house. Next to his house was a piece of broken board which had Trespassers W on it. When Christopher Robin asked Piglet what it meant, he said it was his grandfather's name. It had been in the family for a long time. Christopher Robin said you couldn't be called Trespassers W, and Piglet said yes, you could, because his grandfather was, and it was short for Trespassers Will, which was short for Trespassers William, and his grandfather had two names in case he lost one. Trespassers after an uncle, and William after Trespassers. I've got two names, said Christopher Robin carelessly. Well, there you are. That proves it, said Piglet. One fine winter's day, when Piglet was brushing away the snow in front of his house, he happened to look up, and there was Winnie the Pooh. And Pooh was walking round and round in a circle, thinking of something else. When Piglet called to him, he just went right on walking. Hello, said Piglet. What are you doing? Hunting, said Pooh. Hunting what? Tracking something, said Winnie, very mysteriously. Tracking what? Said Piglet, coming closer. Well, that's just what I ask myself. I ask myself, what? What do you think you'll answer? Well, I'll have to wait until I catch up with it, said Winnie the Pooh. Now, look there. He pointed to the ground in front of him. What do you see there? Tracks, said Piglet. Paw marks. He gave a little squeak of excitement. Oh, Pooh, do you think it's a woozle? It may be, said Pooh. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. You can never tell with paw marks. With these few words, he went on tracking, and Piglet, after watching him for a minute or two, ran after him. Winnie the Pooh had come to a sudden stop and was bending over the tracks in a puzzled sort of way. What's the matter? Asked Piglet. It's a very funny thing, said Bear, but there seem to be two animals now. This whatever it was has been joined by another whatever it is, and the two of them are now proceeding in company. Would you mind coming with me, Piglet, in case they turn out to be hostile? Piglet scratched his ear in a nice sort of way and said that he had nothing to do till Friday and would be delighted to come in case it really was a woozle. You mean in case it really is two woozles, said Winnie the Pooh. And Piglet said that anyhow he had nothing to do till Friday, so off they went. There was a small spiny of larch trees just here, and it seemed as if the two woozles, if that's what they were, had been going around this spiny. So around this spiny went Pooh and Piglet after them. Piglet passing the time by telling Pooh what his grandfather, Trespassers William, had done to remove stiffness after tracking, and how his grandfather, Father Trespassers W, had suffered in his later years from shortness of breath, and other matters of interest, and Pooh wondering what a grandfather was like, and if perhaps this was two grandfathers they were after now, and if so, whether he'd be allowed to take one home and keep it, and what Christopher Robin would say. And still the tracks went on in front of them. Suddenly, Winnie the Pooh stopped and pointed excitedly in front of him. Look! What? Said Piglet with a jump. And then to show that he hadn't been frightened, he jumped up and down once or twice as sort of an exercising way. The tracks, said Pooh. A third animal has joined the other two. Pooh, cried Piglet. Do you think it's another woozle? No, said Pooh, because it makes different marks. It's either two woozles in one, as it might be Wizzle, or two, as it might be Wizzles and one. If so, it is Woozle. Let us continue to follow them. So they went on, feeling a little anxious now, in case the three animals in front of them were of hostile intent. And Piglet wished very much that his grandfather T.W. were there instead of elsewhere, and Pooh thought how nice it would be if they met Christopher Robin suddenly, but quite accidentally, and only because he liked Christopher Robin so much. Then all of a sudden, Winnie the Pooh stopped again and licked the tip of his nose in a cooling manner, for he was feeling more hot and anxious than ever in his life before. There were four animals in front of them. Do you see, Piglet? Look at their tracks. Three, as it were, woozles, and one, as it was, wizzle. Another woozle has joined them. And so it seemed to be. There were the tracks, crossing over each other here, getting muddled up with each other there, but quite plainly, every now and then, the tracks of four sets of paws. I think, said Piglet, when he had licked the tip of his nose, too, and found it brought very little comfort, I think that I've just remembered something. I have just remembered something that I forgot to do yesterday and shan't be able to do tomorrow, so I suppose I really ought to go back and do it now. We'll do it this afternoon, and I'll come back with you, said Pooh. No, it isn't the sort of thing you can do in the afternoon.
Just opens them.
But it's a very particular morning thing. Has to be done in the morning, and if possible, between the hours of, what would you say the time was? About 12, said Winnie, looking at the sun. Well, between, as I was saying, the hours of 12 and 12:05. So really, dear old Pooh, if you'll excuse me, what's that? Pooh looked up at the sky, and then as he heard the whistle again, he looked up into the branches of a big oak tree, and then he saw a friend of his. "It's Christopher Robin," he said. "Ah, then you'll be all right," said Piglet. "You'll be quite safe with him. Goodbye," and he trotted off as quickly as he could, very glad to be out of all danger again. Christopher Robin came slowly down his tree. "Silly old bear," he said, "what were you doing? First you went around the spiny twice by yourself, then Piglet ran after you and you went around again together, and then you were just going around a fourth time." "Wait a moment," said Winnie the Pooh, holding up his paw. He sat down and thought in the most thoughtful way he could. Then he fitted his paw into one of the tracks. Then he scratched his nose twice and stood up. "Ah," said Winnie the Pooh, "I see now. I've been foolish and deluded," said he, "and I am a bear of really no brain at all." "Ah, you're the best bear in the whole world," said Christopher Robin. "Am I?" said Pooh, hopefully. Then he brightened up suddenly. "Anyhow, it's nearly lunchtime." So he went home for it. And that's chapter 3.
And that's it. That's all we have of Don reading Winnie the Pooh here on KSFO tonight. This is Jerry Gordon saying the few final words on KSFO tonight, and when most people found out that I would be the last one of the old KSFO to say something on the radio, people would say I wouldn't give that spot to a leopard. The thing I would like to leave you with is something that some listener dropped off here today. His name is Boral Kirshen. He is the Senior Vice President of Fireman's Fund Insurance Companies. And he simply says, "Goodbye, KSFO. You really were the world's greatest. Thanks."
City, homeward. stillness. Fog creeping slowly across the bay. Hear the sound of the city, the sounds that are heard in San Francisco.
Royal Commandos and all rock and rollers. Shoulders back, hands on your knobs, and prepare. Starting tomorrow, we're moving our troops to two separate fronts. Oldies platoon double time to FM at 93.3. Because KYA is now broadcasting the best in oldies 24 hours a day in stereo. That's KYA-FM 93.3. The rest of you, advance to 560 on the AM band. Because starting at 0-100 hours tonight, the KYA Air Force will reassemble there for the duration. That's Stereo Oldies on KYA-FM 93.3. And we've got personalities at 560 KSFO. This is not a drill. This is the real McCoy. Hurry up! What are you guys still doing in here?
This is KSFO in San Francisco. It is 1 minute past 12 midnight.
And it's party time.
It certainly is.
Oh, all right.
KSFO San Francisco.
Well, I guess it's true that nothing ever dies. It just goes on. Just gets recreated. Yes, I'm Fred Shoemaker. I'm the manager. And you just heard from Ken Dennis. And standing by is Jazbo Collins.
Yeah, one of the things we'd like to say tonight to those of you who are listening is that we have been spending literally many man hours talking to everyone that we could find in Northern California to find out exactly what you wanted from a radio station. And if we hadn't talked to you yet, it's because we just haven't had time, but we will get out to talk to you. We put together, we feel, the strongest personality lineup that the Bay Area radio has seen for many, many years. In just a few minutes, you'll hear the melodic tones of Al Jazbo Collins. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., Emperor Gene Nelson returns at 6 o'clock on KSFO, followed by 9 o'clock, Russ the Moose Syracuse, Sam Van Zandt at 12:15, Carter B. Smith at 3 o'clock, and then Jazbo will be back at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We've added to that lineup many, many more names we'll be announcing as the weeks go by, but we just want to say hello to you. We want to be your favorite radio station in the Bay Area. And again, here's General Manager Fred Shoemaker.
I just want to say that if we've missed talking to you before and you have any comments or questions about KSFO, please feel free to call me first thing in the morning. I'd be delighted to talk to you. Jazbo?
And now the first talented voice on 560 KSFO San Francisco, Al Jazbo Collins.
Yay! Welcome back. Come back.
Pass the champagne.
I'll tell you something. I don't know who said it, but somebody said about things going around, coming around. This is the second time I've gone from New York City and from the very same station to KSFO, and I want to say I'm very happy to be here tonight. I'm going to let my group introduce the entire situation, and we'll get a little music here, and then we'll see where we are. Let's see if everything is working. We'll be in good shape.
A purple cave beneath your feet, and when that certain hour draws near, what do your wondering eyes should appear but a legendary figure in a blue jumpsuit with a wild duck call and a whistle to toot. He's descending into his lair, 'cause Jazbo is on the air. It's Jazbo's time of night when everything feels all right. When the Purple Grotto show comes on, the music is out of sight. It's Jazbo's time of night when Harrison the Owl takes flight all by himself.
scalps, his bearded elves, consumed in the lavender light. Roses are red, but the grotto is purple. Land of your looks, fall by, you ought to slurp a little wine. Recline and dine and line and design, and everything is fine. So curl up on that stalagmite, or hang down from that stalactite. Gather round and dig the sounds, it's Jazzbo's time of night. Jazzbo's time of night. Jazzbo's time of night.
Just hold the phone there and everything will be fine. A little bit of bassy with Blues in Hoss Flat. And as I said, we're trying to get the Purple Grotto situated. It may take me a day or two to move some of the stalactites in place. And as far as the telephone is concerned, I'll be using that shortly. As soon as I find out what number is operating, and as soon as we do that, I'll give you that number. And I'll be happy to talk to some folks tonight. We'll be on till 5 o'clock this morning here on KSFO. And they say 560, but I got so used to saying, using the last digit as O in New York, I might call it 560 because it rhymes with Jazzbo. And I think I'll be using Jazzbo more than Al Collins. I don't know. I always have that to face. But anyhow, that's the least of our problems. So I've been back in town about a month or so, and there's been a lot of things going on. I was over to Martinez one night and heard a group called the Mellotones. And they did a tune called Jazzbo's Back in Town. And went into the studio, recorded that little baby, and gave it to me. And we're going to have a chance to listen to it right now. And we'll see what we think, because it'll be very nice to have it happening every once in a while. It takes a minute and 19, and here it is. Hey man, he's popping. There you go. Very good. Russ is on the line. Throw him on there, and we'll see if we can't talk to him. First time we use the telephone, and I'll have to ask him what number he used, too. Russ the Moose, Syracuse. My man, are you there? Hello there. Wait a minute now. We got a couple of more things to punch. And Russ, when you hear me talking, you say hello.
Hello. I can hear you talking now. All right, it's good to hear you talking.
Let me get his voice a little louder somewhere. Oh, he's in the earphones? Okay. You're in the earphones, Moose.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's better than not being anywhere at all.
Oh, that's good. That's fine. No, you're fine. Are you tuned in to KSFO?
I sure am. Are you kidding? I wouldn't miss this night and this auspicious moment for the world. Nice to have you back, Al, and you're just a delight and so much fun to listen to. I'm actually forfeiting 3 hours of sleep.
Hey, listen, I appreciate that, man. And when I get up early, I'll fall by and give you a little shot, too.
Well, that's nice, Al. I love your theme song. I never heard it, by the way.
Which one? Jazzbo's Time of Night?
Yeah, that's terrific. How long have you been using that?
Oh, that's about a year old. That was made by the Smith Street Society Jazz Band up in Elmsford, New York. They did a lot of special material for me that I used in New York. And, of course, I got a chance to use a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, radio is so great for the imagination, and even though I know you, I know what you look like, and I know what you do, I have imagined in my mind when I heard you just a few minutes ago of a real cool bebop guy dancing in the studio. You're not dancing there, are you?
Sitting down tonight.
Oh, you're not sitting down tonight. Yeah, well, you remember today or the other day you said, don't call it work.
Yeah, that's right, because the minute
you
get
back to work and all that, and you said, no, this is not work. This is a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun listening to you, Al, and I just wanted to welcome you back to the Bay Area, as I know thousands of people feel the same way. We probably will be calling you from time to time.
Well, I hope so, Russ. Thanks very much for that, and I'll be checking you out tomorrow for sure.
Are the phones all working now and everything?
Well, I don't know. What number did you call to get in here?
I called our hotline number, which I probably
shouldn't
call on the air.
Don't do that. Well, we have some other number, don't we, for the air that we can give?
Yeah, that would be the 398-KSFO number.
All right, that's good. It's 398-KSFO, huh?
If it's working, that's the one we'll be using.
Well, try that, you people, and we'll check that out.
Okay, Al. Again, welcome back, and it's fun to listen to you, and I'll be listening to you whenever I get a chance. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, my man.
Bet.
I will check you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Rest the Moose out there, and I'm going to get along with a little big band music. A lot of people have asked me that have seen me around town what kind of music I'm going to be playing, and there's no possible way I can describe what it's going to be. And it will never be the same, and it will constantly change. And one thing we can be sure of, I don't think it's going to get monotonous. There's one big band that got formed in the East under the direction of a fellow named Lou Anderson. And he is a thoroughgoing musician, and he put together a screamer that I'd like to play for you just to see if the KSFO transmitter will take it. This is 560 KSFO in San Francisco. And I'm Al Jazbo Collins, mighty happy to be here, and very happy that you're here at the inception tonight, or this morning, as the case may be. We'll be right back. That's a band that's really got it put together, I'll tell you that. Lou Anderson, the band, that's not a commercially available scene anyhow. It that's kind of like a test pressing. And I told him when I saw him in New York, I said, gee, this is a great band. You ought to get it out and go on the road with it and play some locations and really shake a few rafters. Well, it's 12:18, practically speaking, a little bit 18 after the hour. Carter B. Smith, my good buddy and friend and former colleague of this race, very same radio station, we're together again.
That's exactly right.
So, isn't that the truth, Carter?
That is the truth. You have spoken a mouthful there, Albert. And good evening, and I'm reporting in all the way from Tiburon. I can hear you loud and clear like you were in the very same room.
Well, that's good. I'm glad the reception is out there tonight, man. My voice sounds very bassy in the headset that I'm listening on, but that's okay, too.
Well, you were playing bassy anyway.
And I'm going to play some more, too.
It was real good to hear Blues and Hoss Flat, which you're so closely connected with.
Yeah,
you know?
I love that tune, you know.
My voice is going out here, and I haven't even started to work.
Well, as soon as you get on the air, that professional scene will come to the forefront, and you will come out with those round pear-shaped turns that we all know you about.
It sounds so good to hear you, Al. And I know that, as Russ just said a couple minutes ago, there are thousands of people who are so glad to hear you again. There's only one Al Collins, and you do the best one I've ever heard.
Carter Blakemore, you're a great rooter for me, I'll tell you that. And likewise, man, have you got your T-shirt pajamas on tonight?
I won't say what I'm wearing, Al.
All right.
In all candor.
Okay, my man.
It's time for nighty-night for me, but I'll put you on for a few minutes and listen to this and enjoy it very much.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate the call, Carter. I'll talk to you tomorrow. All right.
National brand quality at the low prices you expect. You'll find it at your neighborhood Lucky store. And right now, save on Folgers Mountain Grown Coffee, because Lucky is featuring Folgers ground coffee in both the 2 and 3 pound cans. Or save on Folgers instant coffee crystals with the smooth, rich flavor of ground coffee. Folgers Mountain Grown Coffee, featured now at the low prices you expect from Lucky.
Here's something you should know from 1260 KYA.
Risk, once reserved largely for epidemiologists, status.
KSFO.
Okay, very good. Let me see if we can get in this other call in just a moment. I think that the telephone is working on that number that we gave you before. So we'll try that one more time. Is that the right telephone number we had? KSFO? And then was it KS? How does that go, that number? All right, get that number and we'll check that out, too. Okay, what I'd like to do is see You know, when I'm moving stuff around, the stalactites and the stalagmites down here in the purpleness, a lot of people don't know that that's my usual broadcast place, which is 3.5 stories down under street level. And when we broadcast from the earlier KSFO location, why, I had to take all that stuff down, move it to New York, and bring it back again. So here we are, once again, trying to get it all taken care of. 398-5600 is where you can get us on the phone. And it's perfectly okay to call and say hello and let me know where you are. And especially, I would like to hear from people who are a good distance away from San Francisco. It's always nice to know how the transmitter is getting calibrated tonight. And our engineers would like to know it, too. So wherever you're listening, if it's 100 miles or 150 miles away from San Francisco, give us a call. Area code 415-398-5600. 398-5600. Let us know what's going on. KSFO 560, San Francisco. The cloudy north and partly cloudy south this evening. A clearing trend later tonight. Lows in the 40s. Light winds, mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. Light winds, fair tomorrow night and Wednesday. Lows in the 40s and highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. I want to say hello to Bingo, who is up in Gurnwood Park listening this morning, and also to Betty Graham, who is over in the Pinole Valley area, and Dr. Denny Prowse, who is checking us out, and I want to thank him for his fast and expert work on a couple of my fangs. A few tusks needed a little buffing off, which he took care of the other day, and I must say that I'm in very good shape along those lines. There's a tune that that I've always played through the years, and it's been background music for what I do. So I'd like to play a little of that just to see how it sounds. I'm testing out a lot of equipment. I'll be doing that for about a week. Nat Cole with Easy Listening Blues. Well, that's just a little touch. That seems to be working fine. Let me see if I can't get something going over here on this thing that we use. We have about 6 theme songs, and maybe I'll play one or two of them tonight. This one's from Prez Conference, and it's based on Lester Young's solos with Count Basie. There's about 5 saxophones matched up here. Thank you. great. That's a great one. And that's the Taxi War Dance from Press Conference album. We'll be moving along into all kinds of different areas. And like I say, the more the better. I wouldn't want to be too predictable, I'll tell you that. Every once in a while, I like to turn the place into a Chinese restaurant. My feeling is you don't need a reason to ring a gong. You can do it any time. It's a nice attention getter. The only point is sometimes you don't have too much to say. We changed the phone number again. It'll be 398-KSFO. 398-KSFO. You want to help make a child smile this Christmas? Support the San Francisco Firefighters Toy Program. For information, stop by any fire station or call 777-0440. 777-0440. Something good to know from 560-KSFO. You know, I'm spelling Jazzbeau, J-A-Z-Z-B-E-A-U-X. I started that, I think, out in San Francisco, as a matter of fact. But when I got to New York, a lot of people called and said, B-E-A-U-X isn't grammatically right in French. But I said, I don't care about that. It just looks good. And I did it for graphics, you know. It balances off the two Z's when you have an X at the end. J-A-Z-Z-B-E-A-U-X. Jazz box in the purple grottox. And that's what it's all about. The Smith Street Society have a girl singer by the name of Lynn McNichols. Bruce McNichols plays soprano sax and sings. It's a fine band. They've got a fellow by the name of Chicken Joe Hanshrow that plays tuba and a whole bunch of other people. But I like what they do with the tune called I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate.
Shimmy like my sister Kate. She takes it just like jelly on a plate. My mama wanted to know last night why all those boys treat my Kate so right. Everybody in our neighborhood, they know she shakes it, she shakes it good. Well, I may be late, but I am up to date. When I can shimmy like my sister Kate, oh yeah, shimmy like my sister Kate. With my sister Kate, everyone there said she danced so great. I realized a thing or two, then I got wise to something new. Well, I looked at Kate and she was in a trance. Then I could see it was in her dance. All the boys, they're going wild about my Katie's dancing style. Well, now I wish that I could shimmy like my sister Kate. She shakes it just like jelly on a plate. My mama wanted to know last night why do all those boys treat my Kate so right. And everybody in our neighborhood, they know she shakes it, she shakes it good. Well, I may be late, but I am up to date. When I can shimmy like my sister Kate, oh yeah, shimmy like my sister Kate.
Smith Street Society Jazz Band, and you're going to be hearing plenty of them. Matter of fact, they played a lot of dates. They came down to the station late at night, came down into the grotto, brought their instruments along, and just grooved out for the entire night, playing and singing and carrying on. And I got very much involved in some of the early traditional stuff, too. Played a lot of Dixieland, played a lot of Turk Murphy. Let me see who's on that line, huh? Who's there? Somebody for us? Who's there? Oh, hi, you, Ken. I don't have you plugged through on here. Hold on, my man. I'll see what I can do. Ken's calling from Fremont. We'll take a call from Fremont. That's not bad. In fact, I have some things. Can you hear me now?
Perfectly, Al. You're coming through fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm walking around in candlelight down here. The calibrated candle is lit. We have one purple nub every 5 minutes, another white one for the next five, and that's how we're telling time. That's how I know we're close to 12:35.
Well, that sounds really great. I normally get up at 5:30 in the morning for work, and I set my alarm to hear the last few minutes of, if I can say this, KYA 1260, and then when the switch went to KSFO 560, and you came through great, and your theme song was fantastic, and the reception down here in Fremont, which I guess is about 50 miles south by way of the buzzard flying, the reception is excellent.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Well,
glad to have you back in San Francisco.
It's sure nice of you to call, and thank you so much. I feel very comfortable, and as soon as I find where everything is, we'll be swinging, my man, believe me.
Excuse me, I can give you this. The number that I called is one of the old request lines that seems to be still working for the people in the East Bay.
Well, it would be a little confusing. They told me a moment ago if I would just confine myself to 398 KSFO, they'd be very happy. So let's leave it at that, and I do appreciate your helpfulness along that line.
Okay.
And I'm glad to hear that you're calling from a place where there's a lot of glider flying going on, because I have become very much air-minded since I got back east, and now that I'm back here, I'll be talking about that some morning.
Well, that's terrific.
And also, this morning, I'm going to give my recipe for beer bread, because I got a call earlier asking about that. And I want everybody that's tuned in to get a piece of paper and a pencil, and I'll check them out on that later on.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks for the call, my man.
Have a good one, Al.
Thanks, Ken.
Congratulations, and welcome back.
Appreciate it.
Take
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's fine. The phone's working, and everything is cooking up here beautifully. Somebody else on that line? Hello there. Hi, good morning. All right, they hung up. That's okay. That's good. That's a good hanging up sound, though, man. All right, now I'm going to play another tune, and as I said, we're happy to be talking on the phone. If you're getting us for the first time, wherever you may be, give us a call at area code 415-398-KSFO. Also this morning, I want to say good morning to 88-year-old Aunt Ruby, who's out there listening, and all the time I was back east, this lady would be calling me every once in a while. A lot of people did that. I got a lot of letters from people out this area, and I'm very happy to be back, and thank you so much for the calls. One of the tunes I used to play when I was back east was one by Marty Gross from an album called I Hope Gabriel Likes My Music. And it's just a fantastic arrangement of California, Here I Come. Okay, California, here I come. Fella by the name of Dick Wellstood plays the piano with Marty Gross. And Marty Gross is a great piano player, guitarist, and he also sings in a manner similar, but not too close. But he does love Fats Waller and does a lot of stuff by Fats. And we will be playing a lot of Fats Waller throughout the regular times we're on. The schedules are kind of a little unusual these days, but we know a few things for certain, for sure. And in the morning, you'll be hearing Gene Nelson. But as far as my personal stake in the station here is concerned, for the next couple of weeks, starting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, I'll be on at 7 o'clock in the evening and going clean through till midnight. This is the only all-night session.